We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
Game management issues surfaced yesterday, whether it was the quarterback or the head coach or a combination of both.
Right.
I looked at that yesterday as a winnable game, almost as frustrating, if not more so, as if they were blown out, where you could say, okay, well, if they're blown out, hit reset. They're going to start to look at this in a different way. They were in that football game. They could have won it, and they didn't, and it was because of these game mechanics that were too faulty that you could point to as a reason.
David, the way they operate, they have to march down the field. And teams love it when you have to march down the field because it means you can't make any errors. So they had an 80-yard touchdown drive, and you thought, wow, that's pretty good. They're ready to play here, and then nothing. And then you get into the second half, you get another 80-yard touchdown drive. I think one was 8 plays, one was 9 plays. That is excellent to be able to put together those kind of drives. You need 2 more of them. You need to be able to do that in every quarter, not in every half.
Yes.
And to come out of a game with 14 points, it underscores that you just don't score enough, and you have to steal possessions, and you have to get takeaways, and you have to try something crazy in order to somehow get some extra points. And you can't live with 14 points in a game.
If you want to play that way, and you want to play the complementary style like we have seen so often from Bears teams in defense, field position, running game, your margin for error is razor thin. And you can't make the kind of mistakes the Bears made yesterday and beat Aaron Rodgers.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Wow, it was something else to hear from Matt Nagy yesterday in the wake of that loss. And his team is now, 13-point underdogs going into Tampa. Got to finish. Well, got to start, got to finish, got to score.
13-point underdogs, will they score 13 against Tampa? My goodness sakes. Good morning, Mully. Happy Tuesday. Yeah, I don't know what that was. I'm trying to remind myself yesterday afternoon. I went back to what I said, you know, after I think the previous week. I was like, okay, I am not going to pay attention to what Matt Nagy says. I'm going to focus on what he does. I'm going to try to block out the noise because yesterday was a lot of noise. It was very noisy and very circuitous and very vague and odd. And it was also a coach in denial.
Yeah.
Asked about the offense, answered about the defense. Somewhere in between, he thought he made sense. And he didn't. And it just was very frustrating.
It was really weird. The Bears were weird yesterday. How about Eddie Jackson? He's apparently had enough. So he went back at Lance Briggs with a 10-year ago. He found some tweet from Pro Football Focus that criticized Lance Briggs 10 years ago. I mean, what next? Are you going to go through all of John Gruden's emails from 10 years ago? I mean, it's just so weird.
Yeah.
Wasn't that weird?
It was very sensitive.
Yeah.
Eddie's very sensitive, it seems. Mm. And to go to that amount of work, it seems like maybe somebody might have done the legwork for him. Like, oh, you can't let this guy criticize you. You know how many missed tackles he made? Look, if you want to go there and you want to start comparing careers, don't, Eddie Jackson. You're going to lose that one. Lance Briggs, he might have missed a lot of tackles, but you know how many he made?
Yeah, he made a lot.
He made a ton.
Yeah. It was weird. Just the whole Bears thing is weird. I don't get it.
Well, they're dealing from a position of weakness.
Yes,
so
they are.
When you are in that position, you tend to be somewhat defensive. And the Bears lead the league in insecurity. And yesterday we heard a head coach who felt threatened by a question about his offense not scoring points. And it came the day after we heard from, via social media, a free safety that can't handle being criticized like most professional athletes in big markets are.
Did you see that Olin made TMZ?
Yeah. That was great.
That was unbelievable.
That was great. Yeah.
I had to laugh. I was like, really?
For what he said, let's clarify.
On our show,
they might have been sleeping yesterday.
Right.
Olin's not on TMZ because of, you know.
No.
Anything
Olin's
other
a
than
good man.
Nope. What he said.
We asked him, how does that make you feel?
Yeah. I like to punch him in his face.
Yeah.
I like to punch him in his face.
That's what he said about Aaron Rodgers, his I still own you thing. And it was funny.
Very funny.
Yeah.
And
but that was so weird. I couldn't believe it when that was sent to me yesterday.
But it was funny because outside of Chicago, it did create quite a ripple enough to get on TMZ. Inside Chicago, people are like, yeah, okay, that's Olin Krutz. Yeah, okay. That's in character.
But like,
brand.
Didn't a lot of people feel that way? Like,
sure.
I'd like to give that guy one.
But
that doesn't, that's not like ex-Bear threatens, right? Like, I laughed out loud. It was so.
It wasn't as sensationalistic as they made it sound. It was definitely in character. And, I think it was reflective of the way a lot of Bears fans may have felt.
Of course.
But nobody's going to be able to say that because then the next way, how are you going to carry that out? Well, nobody doubts that Olin Krutz could probably carry that out.
Yeah. Okay. So I can't even think of the name of the team. The Phoenix Mercury got back to Arizona and they talked yesterday. And again, Chicago Sky wins the WNBA title and these guys storm out. And I guess Taurasi, the trash talker herself, very competitive player. She apparently broke a door at the building. Did you read that?
Yeah,
I saw that. And then she was asked about it.
I saw that.
And the woman, and she basically said, well, there were a lot of doors, something like that. And then they cut off the microphone of the woman who was asking the question. They just moved on.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, what?
Just as long as the Wintrust Arena officials know where to send the bill.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It was just weird, wasn't it?
At least they finally talked. Today, of course, 11 o'clock, the Sky Parade.
Yes.
Beginning at Wintrust Arena, I think wrapping up at Millennium Park, as we found out yesterday. So that will be a day of celebration for the Sky.
Yeah. God bless them. That's a good thing. Always like to see a title in the fine city of Chicago, and I always like to hear about a celebration. And I'm contemplating whether I'm just going to go over there from here or how I'm going
to
handle
it. Can we just go to the 11th floor and yell?
That's a great idea. Walk out. We have a walkway out here.
It's
we
awesome.
Look right out on it.
It could work out first. Go out to the 11th floor. Yay, Sky!
Have you ever been up there?
Yeah.
I go up there fairly often.
It's a great place.
Yeah.
Now, I missed it during the pandemic when we weren't coming into the studio regularly. I really did get into the habit of after the show or whatever, you go up. It's
yes.
a great workout facility there.
Yes, it is.
It's a tremendous, kind of just escape.
Right.
And you got a great view.
Back when the Tribune was there, there were a lot more people that just hung out up there.
There was, yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they were doing in the Tribune offices, but they were all out there. You'd see a ton of people out there. I came down a couple times during the pandemic and brought my kids out there just to let them run around and
see
what it's like.
It's a cool perk of this building.
Yes, it
and
is.
To work here
yes.
and to go up there and have that access to the view of the city.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
And the workout facility, by the way, it's just
tremendous.
Yeah,
the workout facility is
love
awesome.
It.
And it's a great place to, I think you pay once for life.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
It's a great club to belong to.
I'll always belong to a club that will have me. Is that it? No. That's Groucho.
Did you watch any football last night?
I did watch some football. How about that? How about I didn't stay with it for the entirety of the game, but I did get up and watch the end of it. And I couldn't believe the end of that game. That would you have gone for the 3 points? Or if you have a league MVP, are you thinking this guy can always get a...
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
Because I feel so old when I'm watching this happen and my thought process, because for people that may have been sleeping aren't aware. So it's 4th and 1 at the 3-yard line.
Yes.
And it's 34-31 Titans over
the
Bills.
Down 3.
The Bills are down 3
at the 1-yard line.
They've got the ball at the 1 or at the 3
whatever,
yard
the 3
line.
Yard line with 1
with,
yard
with
to
like
go.
With eight, like 18 seconds it's, to go or
so
whatever.
You would have had 2 more shots into the end zone.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
And they go for it.
They go for it.
They go the quarterback sneak doesn't work. Josh Allen is stopped. Now Josh Allen's a big guy.
He's a big
quarterback
guy.
Sneak probably as good as a chance you're going to have with any NFL quarterback.
But apparently he always goes to his left, or he favors his left, and they knew that.
Good
and
scouting.
They loaded up. That's right.
Now, Mully, I'd have kicked the field goal 10 out of 10 times.
Yes.
I would have gone into overtime. I'm the Buffalo Bills. I've got Josh Allen. I am the best team in the AFC. I like my chances in overtime, even though the adage is on the road, you go for the win. At home, you play for the tie. I don't like adages, and I don't like analytics in this situation, because the analytics would have said go for it.
The Titans had scored, what is it, on their last 6 possessions?
There were 7 lead changes.
4 of them were touchdowns.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, they were – if you go for it, you win the game. If you don't, you lose the game. So you decide there, the ball in your hands, whether you're going to go for it or you're going to lose, you're going to win or lose the game, as opposed to flipping a coin – and they've been marching on you the whole night. I think it's an interesting argument.
It
to
is.
Have.
And also, you have to, I don't want to dismiss and slant it any one way, because the Bills had just driven down the field. The drive started at the 18 yard line, and they had a couple big completions. They had moved the ball, so they were rolling offensively. And they felt like they had the momentum, and they were driving, and they had the Titans on their heels. So, yeah, they're going to go for it, and they're going to go for the win. I get that, but still, I think I would have kicked the field goal every time. Keep the game alive, is going as long as possible, because I have the better team and I think that I would have prevailed. I don't know if that would have backfired, but that's the way I probably would have gone.
Right. Derrick Henry was insane. He just had 3 touchdowns. What was it, 174 rushing yards?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's the problem.
And on that breakaway, what was it, a 76-yard TD, you think of him as a big guy, a powerful running back, and he is. Next Gen Stats said that was the fastest touchdown of the season when him in the open field.
That's incredible.
Think about that.
Yeah.
That guy, that big,
size,
that fast.
Exactly. And, you know, his stiff arm is of legend.
It's a weapon.
It's a weapon.
And, you know, to bring it back to localize it, we talk about the identity of a football team.
Yeah.
Titans ran the ball 22 times. They threw 29. Now, that's a good 60-40 pass-run ratio, but they know what they are, how they win. I know they have Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
And they have, but they also have 2 great wide receivers that
they
would if they had Bears uniforms on, the Bears would be 80-20 pass to run. You got to know who you are and what your strengths are.
That's interesting. Are you saying the Bears don't know who they are or what their strengths are?
I think the Bears can get away from it.
They don't know what
they certainly don't. You know, last week they were embracing this identity because they won. Uh-huh. Yesterday, it didn't sound like a team that was embracing anything.
Oh, boy. It sounded like a team desperate for an identity.
Sounded like a confused team.
Yeah. They weren't quite sure who they were. Kyle Schwarber, the former Washington National, hit a grand slam yesterday. Dustin just dropped his head.
I know.
Thank you
for
playing.
Did you see that, though?
That was pretty awesome.
Oh, man. The Red Sox
are making the White Sox look like they don't know how to beat Houston. All you got to do
Sox
is
beat Astros.
Just keep pounding the hell out of them. Yeah, there you go.
Just the That's nice. Wrong color.
Yeah.
Look, Schwarber hits a 3-0 fastball.
Yes.
Out of the park. And
claims
another
he wasn't looking for a home run. Claims he just wanted to make sure he was ahead.
He's always looking for a home run.
That's what he does.
I mean, he's the Schwarber. He's the Schwarbs.
Why he's a national legend.
That was a Schwarb bomb, though.
Oh,
he's an October legend.
He's a Washington National legend.
No.
his most recent team.
My favorite.
Did you hear him in the postgame? He thanked the Washington Nationals. I'm not kidding.
For trading him?
He thanked them for giving him the opportunity to play and then for moving him to the Red Sox.
It was a great trade for Kyle Schwarber.
I thought Dustin would love it.
I thought Dustin would love the stat I saw on Twitter from Mark Potash. Ex-Cubs in the postseason, 8 home runs in 67 at-bats.
I mean, that's wild, right? I mean, and they're all doing it with Anthony Rizzo bats or something, right?
Rizzo and Bryant had two of
left?
Them.
So who's left? It's
Jock and Schwarber have three apiece.
Jocktober
and Schwarbaum.
Okay. That's something else, though.
Yeah. Did one guy effectively replace the other guy?
Yeah.
And then they both got moved.
Yeah, a year ago at this time, we were talking about Kyle Schwarber. Would he be tendered a contract? We found out that answer, and now he's a World Series.
Who would you most rather re-sign, the current Red Sox or the former Dodger?
I think probably neither. Probably. If you're the White Sox, you got to be interested in both.
No.
Probably neither?
If I'm the Cubs.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want Kyle Schwarber back.
I don't know about that. I don't know.
You think he's going to break the bank?
He's going to begin to
pay. I think Kyle Schwarber's going to get paid. Yeah, I think he will. Yeah, especially if he.
Here's an interesting. Who gets a bigger deal, Kyle Schwarber or Anthony Rizzo?
I'd say Schwarber.
I think I do too.
I think Schwarber is younger,
right.
And he's healthier. Yeah.
But I just I think that's something that's going to be interesting to keep an eye on.
Yeah, the entire offseason is going to be something to keep an eye on because there's going to be, hopefully, a lot of different moves and changes. And, you know, Carter Hawkins was introduced, and he's going to join us at 8:22.
That'd be interesting. That'd be a lot of fun.
It'll be good.
Young Vanderbilt graduate.
Yeah.
Joining Jed Hoyer in the Cub front office.
I like it.
He made a good first impression.
He sure did. Yeah, no doubt about
Polished.
It.
Polished.
Very much so. Articulate. Right,
well Indians, spoken. Former Indians executive.
And anytime the Indians can be damaged, we celebrate, right?
That's right.
Hopefully he takes the pitching knowledge to the Cubs and away from the Indians.
And kind of enters it into the computer, which is at the pitching lab. Is there an actual pitching lab?
I think it's theoretical, but we'll ask him. Is there a place? Do you wear a white coat in there? No, we won't ask him that. We won't waste his time. But we will ask him about pitching secrets.
We will ask him at 8:22. Yeah,
that's right.
All right.
All right. We've got the 5 at 5 next.
And this segment is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook at Blue Chip Casino in Michigan City. Sports betting in a sports setting. Make every play count with NFL live betting at FanDuel Sportsbook at Blue Chip Casino. Live betting lets you get in on all the action all game long, even if you missed opening kickoff. You can still place all your favorite bets from Moneyline, point spreads, over-unders, and more. Visit today or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started.
Mully and Haw on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5
with Mully and Haw,
where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767 or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
What was your takeaway from the Carter Hawkins news conference? Are you disappointed he said there's no secret sauce to drafting and developing pitchers? Do you believe him? Will he bring some secret sauce to guys like Edbert Alsolai, Justin Steele, and Keegan Thompson?
There's clearly secret sauce, and he has the recipe. That's my feeling. There's something that they're doing in Cleveland that they need to do in Chicago. So I have literally no issue whatsoever with him not quite saying what it is, but there's got to be something, right? Isn't there got to be a reason? I liked hearing from Carter Hawkins. I thought he did a very good job. I thought he was very articulate, and I enjoyed hearing what he had to say. It's going to be interesting. There were a couple of things that were pointed out that I thought were fascinating to think about. But, I think there's got to be something that they're doing in Cleveland that they're not doing in other places. How else do you describe what they've been managing there? And, the idea that it's all just hard work, I don't believe. I think that there's a secret to it.
Well, I think that the secret exists, but I don't know that it can help players who are already here. I think there's going to be something about the next wave of Cub pitching prospects that are drafted and developed, which will reflect Carter Hawkins' arrival more than the guys who are here that will benefit from it, if you know what I mean.
It's some kind of spin rate thing that you have to have going in, and you draft guys and then develop them.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think so. When you look at the Indians and what they were able to do, the most famous draft they had was in 2016. Okay, so they get Bieber, Savale, and Plesac. And all those guys, they have different things in common. They all were successful, and they all developed in the Indian system, but they were drafted maybe higher than projected. They were guys that fit a profile of guys who were overachievers, perhaps, guys who were really considered in their scouting process, dedicated to a routine, a ritual, and maybe that's part of it. Maybe they identify the traits in starting pitchers or any kind of pitchers in college programs or wherever they find them that reflect a certain trait that they're looking for. And then they don't worry so much about velocity as they do about first strike percentage and things that are about control and not necessarily velocity. And I think those are kind of the traits that he didn't talk about, because if you want to consider that secret sauce or whatever, I just think it's an overall approach that might be organizationally not exclusive to the Indians, but that's what's worked for them. And what's worked for them worked for him career-wise, because he was identified as somebody that has a secret sauce. That's why he's got the job. He's got the job because of the Indian success in developing pitchers like the guys I mentioned.
Totally.
Like others. So I don't know if it can help the guys who are already here, but it does bode well for the guys who are on the way.
It does bode well for the guys that are on the way. That's a really good point. As far as secret sauce goes, I'm not a fan. I don't do mayonnaise. I'm more of a higher quality protein guy than the actual doctored up sauce to put on a bad piece of meat to make it taste better.
Do you sweat mayonnaise though?
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes. Not lately. I probably could use to sweat some mayonnaise. Today might be the last time we see the 70s for a while. So if you want to get outside and try to sweat, today might be a good day to do that.
Thank you, Tom Skilling.
But what I think he does have, another thing that I always like to say, he's got that Cleveland stink on him. That's what he's more bringing than the secret sauce. He's been in that war room. He's been around that organization. I think that's what they like about him, is that he comes to Chicago with the Cleveland stink on him. He was really big yesterday, too, on trusting the process. Like, there's a process in place. You have to stick to it. You can't go for the quick buck. You can't go for the massive, shiny lights and bells and whistles. Trust the process and good things will happen. I'm more interested to see what that guy looks like. So maybe it is overachiever. So let's look at the free agency list and see who has overachieved to put themselves in a position to get paid this offseason. And is that the type of guy that the Cubs are going to be targeting when that market opens?
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here is what's happening. The Bears, they are now focusing on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady. They're turning the page, putting the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, their owner, in the rearview mirror. The current line has the Bucs minus 13 with a total of 47.5. Derrick Henry rushed for 3 scores, 174 yards in total. The Titans outlast the Bills 34-31. Wild Monday Night Football game. There were 7 lead changes, tying a Monday Night Football record. Kyle Schwarber belted a second inning grand slam. ALCS game 3 goes to the Red Sox. They pound the Astros 12-3. Game 4 later on tonight. Red Sox leading that series 2-1. The NLCS Game 3 is later today, 4:08 first pitch in L.A. Dodgers down 2-0 to the Braves. The Cubs introduced new GM Carter Hawkins yesterday. He joins us right here at 8:22 this morning. The Sky will hold their championship parade today starting at 11 over at Wintrust Arena with the rally coming at noon at Millennium Park. The NBA opening up tonight with a doubleheader on TNT. Nets at Bucks, followed by Warriors Lakers. The Bulls open the season Wednesday. They're taking on the Pistons in Detroit. You can hear the game right here on The Score, starting at 5:45 with Chuck and Bill. And the Blackhawks, they started the season 0-2-1, look to change that. Home opener against the Islanders over at the UC. Join the Cats at Ryan Field. For matchups with Minnesota and Iowa, you can buy tickets at NUSports.com.
That's a great question.
Cubs president of baseball operations Jed Hoyer said he has no doubt Hawkins will help in the critical area of pitching and mentioned his favorite phrase.
And it'll help us build that next great Cubs team.
The more Jed mentions that, are you inclined to believe it? Did you believe Hawkins when he said Cleveland's war room was impressed with the Cubs acquisitions on trade day?
I'll get to the next great Cub team first. This must be something they workshopped.
Yes.
Or they tried to.
Yes.
Yeah, this is what we're going to go do, guys. We're going to put it on a T-shirt. We're going to market it. And someday we're going to make money off of this. Jed has said it numerous times now.
Yes.
Carter Hawkins parroted it. Tom Ricketts included it in his letter. So this is an organizational mission to get this phrase out there, the next great Cub team. We'll see. That includes spending, and that includes a commitment that Tom Ricketts expressed in a letter that do whatever is necessary because they have the resources. Okay, if you continue to talk about the next great Cub team, we're going to continue to hold you accountable in the ways that you put it together. That's okay. That's great. If you want to go that route, you have to think big, especially after 2016, which is 5 years ago. You want to think in terms of greatness. You don't want to think in terms of mediocrity. As for Carter Hawkins talking about how impressed the Cleveland War Room was with the Cubs fire sale, okay. New guy, first day in the job, his boss is sitting to his right. What is he going to say? I would have rather followed up with a question like, okay, really? Were you that impressed? Okay, because the Cardinals at the same time had the same record and they ended up in the playoffs as a wild card team. Oh, by the way, the Braves, they had the same record at the same time. They replaced their entire outfield at the deadline. They're going to win the pennant. How in the world can you say that it was such a great idea that the Cubs got rid of all these guys? We'll wait and see. I don't know if it's appropriate right now to be impressed. But maybe impressed in 3 years or 2 years, like, oh, those were great deals. Now it just sounds like, you know, pandering.
Yeah, you know, the next great Cubs team does sound like something that they've figured out will sell. And the more they repeat it, the idea is that you're going to believe it. Oh, they're en route to the next great Cubs team. I think that that's easier said than accomplished. I think it's a great term. I think it really fires you up if you hear it often enough and you're like, yeah, they're doing it. Look what they're doing. Can you believe what they're doing over there? Let me ask you, is Patrick Wisdom part of the next great Cubs team?
How about
what are they going to do about Matt Duffy?
How about Schwindy City?
Exactly. I think that that raises all sorts of possibilities, and it's exciting to think about. But I'm with you. I think that it's probably something that they're trying to use hypnosis, whatever. as far as the Cleveland War Room, I thought the Cubs did pretty good with their trades. I thought that, you know, it was unfortunate that they had to trade everyone at once because they weren't winning, and I thought they might have done better had they spread that out and traded one guy in the offseason they did trade a guy in the offseason. It was Yu Darvish. They didn't do well there. But I thought that they probably could have maximized had they traded guys earlier, had they realized they weren't going to be able to keep people. I thought it was kind of the whole nature of just selling off your team and then talking about how, well, we use so many different players. Well, that's because you traded your entire team, right? I mean,
it is.
It was just mind-boggling.
But don't you want, if you're going to talk about the great baseball sell-off, you need to be in a city that has a small market team rather than you're bragging about the great sell-off in Chicago?
I thought it was amusing when he was asked, when Carter Hawkins was asked about having resources now. Now you got all the resources. And his reply was almost like, yeah, but I've been told not to spend any money. We're not allowed to spend money. So it's going to be really interesting if the secret sauce works when you're mass producing it. That's all.
But if you're talking about overachievers, if that's something that the Cleveland baseball team was hanging their hat on, then guys like Frank Schwindel, I mean, that could be the poster boy for an overachiever. So I do see the connecting of dots in that sense.
I think you got to look at it through pitching. It's pitching overachieving. That's why Cleveland was good.
Well, right. Well, okay. But I mean, overachieving is overachieving. What do they? Well, okay. Let's. I mean, I don't want to pick a scab here, but I'll go ahead and do it since you're in a pry. I mean, maybe they think Hoyer. It from the Sox is really, really good, and like they see him as a guy
like
who's
Cody
a
Hoyer? Yeah.
You know, I'm saying so. I mean, I don't know Cody Hoyer's background enough to know if that would be an overachiever, but I'm saying that's a guy that they might really like. And guess what? It's also going to be part of his job to get him to the next level. Like he was decent. He was pretty good
as a Cub, Dustin.
Yeah, but he was very good.
Like, let's move him from good to great.
Right.
Right. Okay. Nico Horner was, you know, the White Sox were willing to let him go because why?
Nick Madrigal.
Because he was just okay.
Nick Madrigal. They let Nick Madrigal go. Nico Horner's already on
I'm sorry, Nick Madrigal.
Yeah, sorry.
Same difference. Same guy, basically. But the point is they let him go because why? Because he was just okay.
Because he was hurt.
Well, okay.
Let me ask you a big picture question about the Cubs and Carter Hawkins.
If he's healthy, he'd still be on the team?
At 8:22.
Yes. Yes, they would. If he was healthy, they would not have traded him. They needed a second baseman. They made a trade, and they felt that allowed them then to trade Nick Madrigal.
Do you think Carter Hawkins, all these questions about what he brings to the Cubs, let's be honest here, isn't he complementing Jed Hoyer's vision for this franchise more than he's establishing his own path? And I don't mean to be unfair to him, but he is.
Of course. I think we should ask him
he
that.
He is to Jed what Jed always was to Theo.
And
did we ever wonder, boy, what does Jed Hoyer add to the mix? No, we just thought that he was a really good number two guy.
When they run through the chart of the guys that are also on the Cubs and on their, in their front office, you look at that and you say, wow, that's a pretty impressive group of people. Why did they choose to go outside the organization instead of promoting someone to be the partner? Well, they're looking for ideas that are outside the organization, and they're looking for pitching help that they didn't. They're not getting the pitching stuff done with the group that they currently have, right? Is that oversimplification?
No, I think that's a good point. It's also, if you go that route, I think it's also impossible to ignore the fact that if you just value that outside voice, if you value something different, if you value diversity, they didn't get it. They didn't get that. They got an outside voice. They didn't get diversity in that. I thought Jed Hoyer was going to stress based on his rhetoric when he took over. I thought that was going to be a direction they go. They didn't. And Carter Hawkins comes with high amount of respect around the league and some impressive credentials.
It's definitely a valid question by you.
Do you buy into Matt Nagy's positive take on Justin Fields' performance on Sunday at Soldier Field? Is it important to remain patient with the rookie? Are you buying that the coach is fired up about a 14-point performance? Why aren't there more explosive plays in this offense?
I think there's a lot there. I would say that I don't buy it. I don't think they're happy about scoring 14 points. I don't think you're going to win many games when you score 14 points. I think that that they do have to remain patient with Justin Fields, and it's going to take a while to establish him as the guy that can do all the things that hopefully he ends up doing. The reason there are no explosive plays in this offense is they don't have playmakers. They lack playmakers. They don't have you put together a game plan. Where are you starting and who scares you? Who on the Bears are you saying, oh, damn, if that guy gets the ball in his hands, he's gone? They don't have playmakers. That's why there's no explosive plays.
The best playmaker, the most dynamic player, most explosive potential player is their quarterback. And he's just too young and too inexperienced to put in that role to think that he's going to carry you. I thought, again, what Matt Nagy says on a regular basis is a bit confounding and somewhat often confusing. Yesterday, I thought they were going really out of their way to put Justin Fields in a positive light, his performance a day earlier. I understand why, because you want to try to worry about your quarterback's confidence level. You have to look at this through the prism of his development. Everything is about that. But I don't know that you need – you're not going to fool anybody. Justin Fields wasn't as good as Matt Nagy made him sound yesterday against the Packers. That's okay. Everybody gets it, Matt. Everybody understands rookie quarterbacks are going to be up and down. Uneven is the word. So they went into this incredible detail, exhaustive, excruciating detail about how he missed Allen Robinson and how that hasn't been a pass that anyone's going to complete in this play, blah, blah, blah. I mean, methinks thou dost protest too much. It's a little bit over the top in terms of the defense of him. So I don't know if I agree he played that as well as they thought. And there's nothing to get fired up about when you score 14 points.
Zero. There's absolutely, when you score 14 and you're brought here to score points and to teach an offense that you were excited about, the Kansas City Chief offense, there's nothing there. I mean, you know, play 3, play 7, play 19 and 36, David, those were the ones that we're going to highlight today on the whiteboard. That's when his feet were set properly and his shoulders were squared. But again, it goes back to when I learned this line from you, Mully. You know, what did you think he was going to say? Kid's trash. We made a mistake by trading up for him. And hopefully Andy Dalton's ready to go against Tampa, because if we go in there with Justin Fields, we not only shouldn't we be favored, but shouldn't we be getting 13? We should be getting 21 with his kid as our quarterback. So I don't have a problem with it. It's about buying, you know, whether or not you as a fan want to buy into this, you know, pile of, you know what, if that's what you want to, if that's what you're willing to take. You know, to the explosive plays, I think that's also, though, on Nagy. You got to trust this guy. You got to trust this guy to do something. They do have – what was the theme of the wide receiver room? What were we being pitched? What was the big selling point on why Bears
fans – Speed.
Speed.
Fastest group ever.
Fastest group. So what does that mean? They're going to stretch the defense, supposedly. Otherwise, what does – you know, running little outs and stuff, that does, and curls, that doesn't – if anybody that's like – athletic ability to get drafted in the NFL would be able to do that. So if you have speed, you're supposed to do what? Stretch the field, which then does what? Explosive plays. Chunk. That's the other big key. You know, the sexy word is chunk plays. We're gonna get chunks. Chunk, 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 chunk.
Yeah, but Justin Fields is the second most sacked quarterback in the NFL, and he has lost 163 yards on those sacks, which is the most in the NFL.
So, I put about half of those on him, though.
Well, you're making his point. That's why you don't want to call many deep passes, because
it's his job to coach him out of that.
It's Justin Fields' job to get rid of the football when it's time to get rid of the football, and that may be a problem as well.
Well, that's a good question.
It's a fair question, but one the Bears are unlikely to ask. Would the Bears have been in a better position to beat the Packers if Andy Dalton played instead of Justin Fields?
I understand that's why people would wonder that. I get that. But it's also very inconsistent with what the goal is with Justin Fields. You want to develop him. You're going to have to accept the ups and downs once you install him as the starter. It's just more a reflection of, look, if you want to embrace this whole identity of a running football team, that you're going to be more physical because you're not explosive and you're going to try to be the game manager type offense. Well, yeah, I think then Andy Dalton makes a lot of sense and you could go that way. But I don't like the idea of replacing Justin Fields at this point once you've given him the job. I think this is part of developing a young quarterback. There's going to be some bad with some good. There's going to be those head-scratching moments on Sundays, and there were several of them against the Packers. It reinforces just how incompatible this entire Bear season is, because you have a defense ready to win now. You've got an offense that is in development, kind of a work in progress. You've got a quarterback in Andy Dalton that probably fits if you want to embrace a physical identity and run the football and play action pass and be that kind of team. But you drafted a franchise quarterback that is all about explosive plays and thinking big and throwing the ball down the field. So the Bears kind of are an organizational mess right now, because they're two different agendas being served.
Yeah, you know, I would love to use a lie detector test and just ask Matt Nagy who he wants to be quarterback. Because I would suspect that if you could get him to kind of tell you exactly what he expects, I think you'd find out it's not the guy he's using.
Really?
I think Matt Nagy thinks he could win with Andy Dalton over Justin Fields. I'm not saying that is the case, and I think they've gone to Justin Fields. I don't know if he's been told to stay with Justin Fields. I think what we saw was Matt Nagy vacillate repeatedly and then kind of get to a point where he was talking about Dalton coming back. Oh, no, it's
Justin.
What
do you think he values more about Dalton than Fields? What
I think that like he probably thinks that he can get rid of the ball faster.
Predictability?
Yeah. I think they're having a hard time getting the ball out.
They clearly are. I mean, the analytics show that, and your naked eye sees that, right? That's a problem.
I think it's a fair question, but I just think I don't even know why I need Dalton's name at this point. If for the good of the team and the good of the franchise moving forward, you have to give Justin Fields these reps. And what we're talking about is part of the price that you pay that you have to endure. But to your point, does Nagy think that? He might. It wouldn't shock me if he didn't. But see, if he does think that way, this is the problem with Matt Nagy. Like Olin said the other day, you know, the why, right? We were talking about Olin said, here, put a bunch of mirrors around your office, maybe even put one on the ceiling and look up and you'll see the answer to the why. Because you are getting in the way of the whole thing. You are the answer. Why equals Matt Nagy?
But let me, you know, I talked around the question and I shouldn't have. I tend to agree with the premise that you could make the argument, and I think Matt Nagy may believe this, that they would have been in a better position to beat the Packers if Andy Dalton would have been at quarterback. Because I think the mistakes – look, Justin Fields had six or five passes on that one drive, and he started fast. But in between, there was a lot of shakiness. And I think that there's more predictability when you have a veteran running the offense that you think is brilliant, right? That's the coach's mindset. So they might have been in a better position to win on Sunday, only Sunday.
Right, and I think that as we look at what Matt Nagy is doing, I think that his future is tied to developing this quarterback. That's all he can do. He's not allowed to move. He wanted to hang on to the idea that he could bring in Dalton and then he could then go back to Fields. I don't think he likes running the football. I don't think he likes the offense as it's being run right now. And I don't think he likes the idea that you can't make a mistake because with, you know, what we haven't seen is any turnovers yet. And God knows that's a wonderful thing and keep that going. That keeps you in games, but you're not going to win games by not making errors. You're going to have to make plays to win games.
Who do you think's in Nagy's ear? Who do you think is telling him to play the rookie? Do you think because it's not the voice in his head?
No,
it's somebody in his ear.
I believe it's the organization. I do. I believe he's been told, listen, we've got to play this kid and we have to move forward and we can't like get the whole fan base turning on us or we're all in trouble. The time has come. So who is the person who embodies that? Probably Pace, but I think it's more a conversation. I think he's more a guy that's talking around it than
they're in a room.
Him.
There's four of them. Matt Nagy may want to play Dalton because he's a football coach, but the other three guys convince him, hey, you know what? It's time.
That's just my belief.
Yeah.
It's a great question, David.
Now that the Chicago Sky has become Chicago's first major pro sports champion since 2016 and the first pro basketball champion since 1998, who's the next Chicago pro sports team that will be planning a parade? Is there even much doubt about Dustin's question he foreshadowed 24 hours ago?
I know this is an idiot's task, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think of the major sports teams in this town, it's got to be the White Sox. I don't see anybody else that's close. I think the White Sox are at least a playoff team or at least could dominate their division. I don't think the Bears are going very far right now this season. So that takes them out of the mix. I think the Bulls are interesting. I think the Bulls' goal is to make the playoffs, not to win a championship. And I think it's going to be really curious to see how some of those guys play together. And I'm really looking forward to that. But I think the Bulls probably, if they get a play-in spot, they'll be really happy. And if they get run out by Brooklyn or Milwaukee, they'll find a silver lining. I don't think they're competing for a championship. The Blackhawks have been a disaster since the season started, even though with their veteran guys, you would think they'd be competing for a championship. Just I'm saying, you know, that would theoretically be what they're doing. So it's not the Blackhawks. It's not the Bulls. The Cubs are going to have their next great Cubs team in a while. And the Sox are the only team that I can think of that's left. The Bears aren't there.
Definition of no-brainer. This is a situation where, yeah, every team in town, except for the White Sox, can't legitimately say at the beginning of the respective seasons that they want to win a championship, that they're going to win a championship or compete for one. Hawks aren't there. They're off to a terrible start. They may have to make some changes in the front office or behind the glass with the coach before they're in a position to say, okay, we're going to chase a cup again. The Bulls are going to be better. They are going to be fun to watch. But what does that mean? It means they're going to be a four seed at best. Well, probably. If that's pretty good, though. But making the playoffs would represent success. The Cubs, I don't know when the next great Cub team is coming. The Bears, you know, making the playoffs would be a huge victory at this stage of the season. So the Sox are close. The Sox go into next season, 2022, legitimately thinking championship and World Series. And they should. Look at what's going on now. They need to mash. They need to pitch. They need to do all those things. And they're capable of doing. And they're capable of being better than the Red Sox or better than the Astros. So definitely White Sox.
The Blackhawks might already be at a must-win against a team that some people think, Barry Melrose, that is going to win the Stanley Cup this year in the Islanders. I mean, that's how I think already how crucial they're at. They're at a breaking point at 0-2-1, and it doesn't even feel like 0-2-1. It really feels like 0-3. But okay, they did get that tie, but then they lost in overtime. But, you know, it's just semantics, right?
The big point.
So they got that big point. If you're betting on it, it's got to be the White Sox. But I think this offseason, and Mully, I think, would be the first to admit it, this offseason's huge. Like they're a couple of big ticket items away from making you feel better after seeing what happened. Like, why is it that did the White Sox show the Red Sox something? That why is it that the Red Sox are able to hit this team and the Sox couldn't? You know, why is that? That seems weird to me. You know, go ahead.
They're missing two pitchers. They're missing two starting pitchers. The Astros are. I mean, McCullers hasn't thrown an inning against the Red Sox.
He's not even on the roster. Right.
That's a big factor.
Right. It, I'm sure it is, right? I mean, there's one ant. But again, they are slugging the ball. Something the Sox needed to do to win was to slug the ball. So the money's got to be on them. But I am just, and I know I'll get burned by it, but I am so willing to see that Ricketts is going to give Jed the money and see, because that division. The division that you know, as bad as the Sox division is, okay, the Cubs division is worse.
That's your heart talking, man.
The Cubs division is terrible.
That's your heart talking.
Well, the problem is in the NBA. In all seriousness, let's go Bulls. Okay,
he has
we have
no
time
heart.
Or no, Ray?
Go ahead.
You got to get Kevin Durant, and you got to get the Greek Freak out of the East before you can even start talking about the Bulls making it to the NBA Finals. You got to get those guys out west. Okay, so that's the first thing. We just talked about the Blackhawks at 0-2-1, really should be 0-3, and are in the must-win game in the fourth game of an NHL schedule. Okay, until, you know, is Matt Nagy going to be the coach of the Bears when they win a Super Bowl? I don't know anybody that could get behind that. You hope that the next time the Bears win the division, that Justin Fields will be the quarterback of that team. But is that going to take Aaron Rodgers getting out of the conference and then get out of the NFC altogether? Is that what it's going to take? So, yeah, I think it's the Sox and the Cubs. I think those are honestly, or, you know, the sky could repeat, right? You know, the sky could repeat. If the sky is part of this conversation, why not a repeat for the sky?
I like it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Hall on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.